Let's get our Bibles out and open up to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. So yeah, as I alluded to earlier, the title of this talk is A Battle. And I'll just start with the well-known verses here in Jeremiah chapter 31, a wonderful promise, prophecy of times to come, times that we're living in today. So we'll open up to Jeremiah chapter 31. And it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I'll forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more." So, as I was saying to someone before the meeting, I've read this passage out a lot at meetings because it's just a wonderful promise, wonderful prophecy of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a whole new covenant between man and God, not following the letter of the law, but having the Spirit in us. And that Spirit will go into our inward parts and to teach us God's ways, and that everyone will just know God because they've got the Spirit in them and they've got God dwelling in them. And what can... this is a thought I brought out on Friday at the prayer meeting, that, it is a battle that we have. And there's this... The Bible outlines how to walk spiritually before God. I mean, God's put the Spirit in us. And so the Spirit that's in us is enlivened when we read God's Word and when we talk about God's Word and when we talk to others that have a desire to walk in Spirit and in truth. And this, the Spirit in us provides a... like a landmark of where we would like to be, right? Where we would like to be spiritually and what we'd like to do spiritually and, the things, like, because it teaches us. It teaches us what is good and what is right. And so we have this desire, like let's say this mark where we'd like to be, spiritually, but we always fall short. You know, every day we wake up, right, praise the Lord, I'm looking to the Spirit, but then because we are part of the flesh, we get this far. And then the next day, right, wake up, yep, we've got this desire, we get there and just fall short. It's just natural, it's the way it is. It's this battle that we have. You know, we have this spiritual desire to be here, but we're constantly fighting a battle because in the flesh, we just can't do it. You know, we want to fly, spiritually speaking, but we can't because we're constrained by this body that we're in. And it's the way it is. It's the way God's designed it. And we have a desire to do so many things that the Bible tells us to. It says pray always, you know, be instant in season and out of season. Oh, but I couldn't. I was tired. You know, I had just had an argument with my next door neighbour and I just couldn't, wasn't in the mood, you know, these sorts of things. But it says instant in season, out of season. And it's funny, I'm hoping they can't hear me, but a few days ago, Charlie asked me, can we go outreaching when it's not an organised outreach? You know, like it's a great thing. Like she's 13, you know, and I said, of course, you know, and it's like, yeah, like the Lord's asked us to be like children. And of course, you know, Charlie's been a child. She's wondering, okay, we've got this structure in place. And so does that mean we can only outreach during that? But can we do it anytime? And And that's the thing, like as we grow older and, I don't know, whatever, we encounter things in our life, we get tired, I think. And we've still got this spiritual goal of witnessing to everyone we meet and all that sort of stuff, but we fall short. And, just like Charlie was saying, can we witness all this? Yes, of course you can. But as we go through life, we get worn out, things happen a lot, and we don't meet it. And I thought, yeah, we should all have this, we all actually have this desire to witness to everyone we encounter. It's still there. And it's still that childlike desire. And it's from the scriptures and from praying to God that he's put that desire in us. And so this battle that we're a part of, and as I alluded to on Friday as well, like we come to meetings and the talk that we have is out of the Bible, right? It's straight out of the Bible. That's how we want it. And so really, when we come to meetings, we should expect to be challenged every time. We should always be challenged because during the week, we're tied up doing things, our day-to-day things, trying our best. And then we come to meetings and we should be challenged by what the Bible says because the Bible is encouraging us to keep aiming for this point, you know, spiritually speaking. Okay, right, you've been through your days without a meeting and, right, you come to a meeting and you should be challenged. Right, oh, yeah, that's right, I should be doing this, you know. And so, we're excited to come to meetings because we've got the Spirit and we're surrounded by people filled with the Holy Spirit, but you should also expect to feel a little uncomfortable, you know, like because we're in the flesh. Like, oh, I let the Lord down again. but look, we know the Lord is ever gracious and understanding because he created us. And, of course, we'll read the famous Romans chapter 8 later. We come to meetings and we're tugged this way. And then later on, we're tugged this way. And it's just this battle we're in the middle of. It's the way it is. It's the way God understands this. And so that's why, like, the Bible is this constantly pulling us back to and having our mindset to be constantly pulled back to this place that spiritually that God would like us all to be. We would also, because we have the Spirit in us. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened, or he's made alive, who were in the past dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So it says clearly that once upon a time, we were walking in this conversation of the lusts of our flesh. We were doing the things and we were fulfilling the lusts of our flesh and the desires of the flesh and the mind. Once upon a time, before we received the Holy Spirit. We received the Holy Spirit, we're walking on in spirit and in truth. But you see, because we're still in the flesh, these lusts and these desires are still there. They're still there because we're still the same body. We still have the same mind. We have the same experiences. And so we still carry these lusts of the flesh and these desires of the flesh and the mind around with us. You know, and it's just different now. We've got this spirit that has this other desire to walk a spiritual life, and it's kind of pulling the other way, the way that it should be pulled. And then, of course, the wonderful promise that there was no way that we, through our own works, would be able to be saved. We're saved by grace and unmerited favour. And so we can't prove ourselves through our own works. You know, like the way we prove ourselves to God is by faith, right? And we do stuff by faith. And will he find the faith on the earth? And so we read the Bible, pray in the Spirit, come to meetings, be encouraged, be challenged to do the works of faith, as I brought out recently. But we need to understand that these things that we put in our life, like I said, prayer, reading, fellowshipping, meetings and so forth, they are to offset the battle that's pulling the other way, and to build that spirit in all strength. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So again, I'm just making a point with these few passages that when it says you were once doing this and you're once doing that, well, that same body is here. The same mind is still here. It's just filled with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But now ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And wonderful verse. Verse 11 is fantastic. It's so liberating, right? We are free from sin, the law of sin. That's what I was going to say earlier. And so that's that separation thing. You know, it's our flesh that sins. It's not us that sins. You know, I brought that out recently. And so, yes, we were born in this body. We lived a life in this body. We were these people. We were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers with themselves, mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards. We were that. But that was sin that was in us. And then this body of sin was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're still dragging sin around through life with us. It's just got the Holy Spirit in us now. Okay? And it's the Holy Spirit, not by what we do. It's the Holy Spirit that washes us, sanctifies us, and justifies us, right? And so those three wonderful words, we're washed clean. We don't have the grot and dirt of the sin anymore before God. It's not ours anymore. It's separated from us. We're sanctified. We're separated from sin now. We're separated. We're different. And we're justified, right? Jesus Christ is there chirping away in God's spiritual ear saying, they are perfect in your eyes, Lord. That sin is not them. That's that rotten body that was living before you filled them with the Holy Spirit. You know, in them, they have the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit has given them this desire to walk faithfully before God. There's a landmark they have in their mind. They're being taught by the Spirit. And they've got this goal, this spiritual goal of where they want to be. But it's the sin that drags them back. It's the sin that makes them unable to meet the mark. And that's what sin is. They fall short. That is sin. You fall short. So it's sin that's stopping them from getting to that mark, Lord. You know, I died for them, washed them in the blood. They are clean before you. They have the Holy Spirit. So you, Lord, forgive them. We don't have to ask for forgiveness anymore. Jesus is doing it for us all the time, in all time. You know, we've been forgiven. We are washed clean. You can't get any more clean than completely clean and washed. We are separate from sin now through the Spirit, and we're justified as being perfect. It's sin in us that annoys us so much and makes us fall short to where we want to be. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And that's why, like the beauty of the morning, you wake up, right, Lord, I'm going to start again and I'm going to try to meet that mark. That's faith. Okay, that's the faith. James chapter 1, verse 1. James chapter 1 and verse 1. And I just want you to bear in mind, I'm starting from the very first line of the book of James, right? So we'll read the first four verses and we'll see what James says, bang, straight away. Okay, getting to the point. James chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So really, you know, the 12 tribes in the physical were scattered abroad. They were taken away from God's promises and they were scattered and they became Gentiles, really. We were scattered abroad. We had no shepherd. We had no guidance. So we are these 12 tribes scattered abroad. And James is writing it to them. And what does he say in verse 2? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Okay? So the first verse is a greeting, and then the next three verses, he gets right into it. You know, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's a refining process. It'll happen. And the trying of your faith, trying of your faith, that's what God hearkens unto in our lives, is our faith, our unwavering faith, and that patience, knowing that, yes, God has a plan for us, okay? Patient. And then what this word, the reason I picked this passage is the word perfect. This place where the Bible is encouraging us to aim for every day spiritually is perfection, right? And so with faith and patience, let them have their perfect word that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Again, the reason I chose this is we live in the flesh. We want stuff. we're people. We're not happy with our lot. We want something else. And so that's why I want it. Every day we want something else. And so perfection, great, I didn't make it. I still want stuff. But you see, that perfection is here. You know, an entire, and once you get there, you'll be at a place where you don't want anything. You've got everything. You realize, right, turns out I'm living with God after all. That's the perfection. And with patience, there's this perfect work. Okay, first day we get to here. Second day, right, a bit closer. Patience. We slowly have patience and we slowly inch closer and we get an understanding of where God wants us. Of putting down the flesh and building up the spirit. But it all takes time. It takes time. Patience takes time. And you've just got to give it time and let God work with time. And it's interesting, I look back on my own life and the peaks in understanding were as a result of a trial. Okay? As a result of a trial, there's this incredible refining. And afterwards, you think, wow, praise the Lord, I'm in a better place now as a result of that trial. The trying of your faith works patience. And then you're more patient next time. And then there's another peak in understanding and how close you are with God. Romans chapter 8, as I alluded to. Wonderful, wonderful encouragement. God knows our frame. He knows who we are. He created us. He's been watching us for thousands of years. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. He's been watching it all. He knows these things. And so wonderful encouragement here that, you know, sometimes we need to read it every day. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It's interesting. You know, we have a desire to walk after the Spirit. It's the flesh that condemns us. When we walk after the flesh, which we do every day, in fact, everyone sitting here now, today, right now, at this second, is walking in the flesh, right? Because there's things going on in your mind, whatever it is, you wish I'd worn a different tie, whatever it is, something, you know? So when we walk after the flesh, there is condemnation because you don't meet the mark. But when we walk after the Spirit and the faith after the Spirit, that's when there's no condemnation. When you've got that Spirit built up and you realize, yes, it was sin that meant that I couldn't meet it. But in the Spirit, I know it's clean. I know I'm washed and I'm sanctified and I'm pure. And condemnation does not belong at all when you walk after the Spirit. Verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." I'm different now. I'm separate from that. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, condemned it to where it belongs, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." That's that battle. You know, there's enemies going on here. We've got God here at the Spirit. We've got the flesh here, which is carnal mind, which is enmity against God. So that battle, that tugging going on. "For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. The carnal mind can never, ever be subject to the law of God." And yet we have a carnal mind. We all have a carnal mind. We still carry it around with us. Verse 8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God," right? "But ye," all of us here, we're not in the flesh, right? Sin and flesh has been separated from us, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So with that explanation there, you realize how far away from the salvation of God anybody is without the Holy Spirit. Okay, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. "If those that are Spirit-filled are hardly saved, where will anybody else stand?" You know, praise the Lord, he's chosen us. Yes, we have this understanding that there's this battle, and we have the Spirit in us teaching all things and guiding us in all things. And so we have an understanding of when we fall short. Yes, there's that as a result of being filled with the Spirit. But we have God in us. We have the extension of that understanding that there is no condemnation through the Spirit. You know, God loved us and called us to be his very own. He called us in sin to dwell in us. So he knows what he's doing, and he's refreshing us and refining us and encouraging us and calling us constantly that he loves us as a father, their own child, because he understands what's going on. And if we continue to walk in the Spirit and have that mindset and that faith to realize, nah, I'm following the Spirit, not the flesh. The flesh belongs over there. I'm over here in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll start reading in verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So through the Spirit, we're a whole new, brand new creature. And that is the creature that God sees. It's that creature, not the sinful creature that God sees. And we're being reconciled completely to God. Okay? Once upon a time, we were far away from God, but now he's made us a whole new creature where we are one with him, or he is one with us. And it's just wonderful, this spiritual thing. Of course, we can't fully get it. But over time, we get an added idea of what God sees in us. And I think that is the key for us to get an idea of what God sees in us. Knowing that we're washed, we're sanctified and we're justified. Knowing that. Knowing that there is a separation between our life spiritually and our life to sin. And we start to see this is the bit that God sees. This is the cloak of righteousness that God sees, not that bit. And that can help us have this mindset right. There is no condemnation. Yes, we do follow his ordinances. We don't commit adultery or fornication. We don't murder, steal. You know, we don't purposely argue and like fight with people. We have a different pathway. But there's things that we just can't. Like we fall short in the things that I've said before, and that's not us. That is the carnal mind. But we are a new creature, a whole new creature made by Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 12 we need to go to. And we'll start Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So there's that word perfect again. You know, these spirits of just men, you know, they're perfect now. They've shed their vile body, and we've come to that general assembly, the church, right? The church isn't just today. The church is ever since Jesus Christ died, rose again, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're all part of the church, you know. Even in the Old Testament, the church is actually an Old Testament thing as well. God's chosen people were called a church. And it was his church that he chose to be espoused to. And today, the Spirit-filled people that are walking in spirit and truth, that will ultimately dwell with him forever, are this church, this general assembly and church of the firstborn. So this dispensation is a different church of the Old Testament time, because today it's the church of the firstborn, the church of Jesus Christ. We're all the ones that are getting born later into the family of God, but Jesus was the firstborn. And we all our names are written in heaven. That's our home. Okay, and we've come all together as a congregation to the spiritual Zion, to the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's in the spirit we've done that. It's impossible to do it through the things of the flesh. The God, the mighty judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Not by their own works, but made perfect by the Spirit, by Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, back in chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." Okay, So we have this goal, we fall short, but we know that through the Spirit we are perfect. It's not through the flesh that we're perfect. It's a whole new day. We've got a whole new goal of following God and putting things aside for Him. It's through the Spirit that we're being perfected forever. We've been sanctified, we've been justified, we've been perfected and washed. Right, second last scripture. Just see what I did there? No, the penultimate scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't fight battles for the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's through God that we can get the victory, that we have the victory. And our weapons are not carnal. And so that's where that faith is. We rely on God. Just quickly, the last scripture, Ephesians chapter 6. So there, it's a battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then Ephesians chapter 6, the famous chapter here. And the important elements here of this armor. This is how we fight the battle, or we're equipped with the battle. God is fighting the battle for us. We've got this armor to be equipped, to be a part of this as soldiers for Christ, I suppose, to use a term like that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay? That's what God's asking us to do, to put on the whole armour. And the reason he wants us to do that is so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil and put away the flesh and the condemnation associated with that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So that's the first part of it, part of the armour, is the truth. So we come to meetings, we read the Bible, we pray, we learn what the truth is. We have a knowledge in our head and a knowledge in our heart of what the truth is. That's part of the armour, is be refined in knowing what the truth is. A breastplate of righteousness, okay? Knowing that we are righteous, that we are right, we're perfect before God. That's the other bit, having it well set in us that we are God's chosen people and we are righteous. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Have that desire, yes, we'll fall short, as I said before, but have that desire to speak the gospel. You know, we've got something to say. We're part of the kingdom of God. We want to see people being baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, to experience what we have. So have that desire to spread the gospel of peace. Okay? So let us be peaceful as well, that we may be able to tell others. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Fourth one, faith. So keep that faith and show your faith by your works. It's part of this armour that helps us to be part of a victorious battle, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, like that shield of faith. Nope, that was part of the flesh. That was sin. I'm right before God. No, I have faith in God and I'm following his ways. Take the helmet of salvation, knowing we are covered, right? God can only see the Spirit. Know these things. Helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which cuts to the marrow. That's tied in with knowing the truth. You know, what we speak is the oracles of God, Okay, have the mindset of speaking the oracles of God, reading, learning these things, which is the word of God. And then verse 18, to finish up, praying always, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, in tongues, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Okay? So it is a battle. God's equipped us with the Spirit to know there are parts of this that's broken down for our carnal mind to understand, that this is what the Lord wants. This is how we can be part of a victorious army. And that knowledge of where we stand before Him, the knowledge of the opposing force of that carnal mind pulling us away, but being comforted that that's the way it is. God understands. He's compassionate. He's given us encouragement to keep desiring perfection, even though we may have fall short. You know, the Lord is there encouraging us to carry on and look after spiritual things. Okay, thank you.